The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze, and the girls really want to say, hey, I wanna, to say, hey, I wanna.
Welcome to my brother, I mean, advice show for the modern era. Folks, it's cold and flu season. I hope you have your vitamin C, your echinacea. What else? What else is a
your
popular?
Your portable bubble.
Your bubble that saves you from infection.
I'm talking like a shower curtain kind of like force field thing.
Sure.
So are you guys ganking? Ganking out?
Excuse me? Ganking is for your, well, A, racism. Don't appreciate it. Two,
sorry.
Isn't that for your memory?
It's for your memory, but that's how you remember to take all the other vitamins.
Oh, you remember okay. Not to get sick.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, people in Contagion, I liked Contagion. I liked how early Gwyneth Paltrow left the film. But I think...
Get out of here, Gwyneth.
Hey, there's the door, lady. Go cry on Blythe Danner's shoulder. I do wish that there had been a boy in a plastic bubble who had risen up to lead them.
Well,
he would have been their hero.
Hey, didn't Ewan McGregor do just that?
I guess in a way he just didn't commit to it.
That movie was startling for me on well, three levels. The first being, oh my god, this is it, guys. This is it.
How it happens. No,
this is how it happens.
I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt. I haven't seen Contagion.
Okay. Well, here, let me give you the elevator pitch. Everyone gets real sick.
Okay.
Just yeah. Real sick.
You ever been to a hospital?
Uh huh.
It's like it made the world into a hospital.
Got it.
Yeah. Pretty much it.
Okay, so the whole world smelled slightly of antiseptic.
Yeah.
Got it. So that was part one. Part two is Ewan McGregor's head bubble is just so darling. And
he wears a head bubble. It's like a plastic bag. It's like, you never see American Beauty. You know, a plastic bag. He wears that on his head, basically. Uh-huh.
He wears that right on his head and keeps him safe from disease.
How many times in the movie do people ask each other if they've been taking their one a day?
That doesn't come up.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's apparently not effective in treating whatever contagion is. And the third point is that Ewan McGregor's got kind of a fucked up grill.
Hey, well, how's your grill, Yui?
I didn't know because was that movie magic, or does he really have that fucked up a grill?
I think in every film he's ever made, it's been CGI'd out.
It's pretty fucked up, and it's only from one side. On one side, he looks like, you know, Obi-Wan. And on the other side, it's like, oh, no. Oh, man, he looks like...
Grody Wan.
Nice.
I guess? I don't know. So this is our Ewan McGregor fan cast. My brother and me. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your baby brother, Griffin. And I apologize for how my voice sounds. I have the contagion.
Griffin has the contagion. And for people who haven't seen it, I hate to spoil it for you, but apparently the only thing that treats it, more cowbell. I was really surprised. That was the only treatment, the only prescription that was available to people. There was a run on cowbell stores.
But unfortunately, it wasn't covered by their insurance, so it was cost prohibitive.
Right, exactly. So people are like dying in the streets selling fake cowbell that are just made of aluminum.
This is a triangle.
Hey, this is a horse bell, you fucker.
This is one of those things with the little metal beads on it that you rub to make it sound like it's raining.
A shaka.
A shaka. Two of my female friends are moving into a new house rent-free because one of their parents owns it. It is a three-bedroom house, and they have invited me to live there with them. They are my best friends, and I spend most of my time with them. My concern is whether or not it's a good idea to live with two women with whom I have no romantic connection with because TV has taught me that doesn't always work out well from Gmail.
From Zombie John Ritter.
just a reminder, if you're writing into like a gender specific question like this, make sure to include your own gender because it can get kind of confusing.
I'm thinking it's male.
It is a male.
I think you're right. I managed to piece it together from context clues, but I had to devote brain cycles to that I could have been using coming up with advice and wisdom.
Yeah.
Or
a cure for contagion.
Mm-hmm. I lived with a girl I was not romantically attached to for a month once. It was in an apartment. What?
Travis did the same thing, didn't he?
I did it for like 3 months, and it's not a good idea.
I lived with a couple, and it was great.
Couple is different.
You're a secret third wheel. Wait, are the girls a couple? I don't think they are. I think they would have mentioned that.
If they are, then yes.
Yes.
Live in there.
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't think it has any more complications than moving in with anyone. It's just different complications.
Yeah.
Explain, Trav.
Well, like, you know, you move with anyone you don't know or anyone you haven't lived with before, and you have a certain amount of how's this going to go? Maybe we're going to do things that is going to annoy each other. Maybe we'll hate each other.
Wherever I hit it, they find that thing that they can never find.
Uh-huh, exactly. And with moving in with female roommates, there's a certain amount of, like, what tensions could possibly be created over a year that you're not expecting.
You're talking about sexy stuff.
Yeah.
Sexy. And you got to assume, with two women, they're going to find it. Wherever you hit that thing.
Where did you hide it? Because it's not deep enough buried in the yard.
Where they can never, you know, the one thing, you know, the thing they can never, ever find. They're going to find it.
Yeah.
You get two girls together, they're going to go full Scooby-Doo. They don't even know what
it
is.
They're going to scoop it up and just be all up in your shit.
They're going to find it.
That's you would have gotten away with it, too.
That's the big worry. I think it could work with especially. I think two would be easier than one, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
too.
I think so too.
Personally,
I think you have to turn off that switch in your brain that tries to interpret things as like flirting. Or, you know, that thing where it's like, oh, she just touched my shoulder, or she said I look really cute. Just turn that switch right off, and just you are like a monk to them. You have no feelings towards them in any romantic way, and you have to set that up from the get go.
You do have to prepare yourself for some of the other unspoken things that come up when you're living with women, two women, vis-a-vis period stuff. Yeah. You know?
No, please indulge me.
Well, they're just going to, you know.
Please, go
on. They're going to period. And when that happens,
uh-huh.
You got to be prepared.
And with two of them, they're going to sync up.
They are going to sync. And when that happens,
so really, you're saying you're going to live in a place for 3 weeks, a month is basically.
Yeah,
you're going to live in a place for 3 weeks, take a week off.
I am not entirely sure that I know what a period is.
I'm in fact sure I don't. I think that if King of Queens has taught me anything, there's knives involved and a lot of growling.
I think it's when you get
and a lot of snickerdoodles. I think
I think you get
eating constantly.
You get, like, pregnant, like, temporarily for 4 days, right?
Basically, yes.
With, like, a ghost baby, and then it goes away, I think.
That's where Casper came from, actually.
That's where ghosts come from, all ghosts.
Wow. Yeah. I have never been as uncomfortable in 1 second as I just was. washed over me.
It's
like
called the Justin flip. He flips it on you. I think you're going to be fine. And I think that, you know what?
Well, apart from all the period ghosts.
Except for that, you're going to be fine. Hang some garlic up. That's key.
Yeah.
The other thing is not knowing how a situation's going to work out is not a good reason to not do it.
I completely agree.
I don't know. Maybe it's awesome.
Embrace yourself for becoming one of the girls. It's just going to happen. You got to deal with
it. Top model.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's be honest now, in this enlightened age, that can be kind of awesome.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah,
girls have... They decorate better. The house always smells better.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, like...
Most of the better TV is targeted at women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every time I went over to a girl's house in college, I always thought, man, I wish my house was decorated like this. Because it looks like an adult house. It looks like a nice place that people actually want to be.
They always have juices and almond milk.
Yeah.
Sitting around super fruits.
Just so I'm clear, Trav, on the before we get the emails, and to make sure they get directed at the right person, you're saying that the nice thing about living with two women is that it's always clean. Is that what you're saying?
Wow.
There's always a hot meal on the table when you come home from the salt mines.
Can I say, because it's just a nicer place to be? A nicer environment? A gentler environment?
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'll let that slide.
I don't think clean is right, because I know some dirty girls, you know? I know some
Kirkman
messy...
actually knows all the dirty girls.
I know some messy ladies. And also, you got to think about how much of that apartment, the square footage, is going to be covered in ectoplasm.
You know, from the ghosts.
I think people knew what I was talking about when I said ectoplasm.
Do you remember we were talking about it like 5 minutes ago? This whole goof?
I want everyone to know that this whole episode for me is about period ghosts.
Good. So tune in. Go get the fam.
Gather around the radio.
Go get Unky Dan around the radio.
Do you guys want a Yahoo answer?
Yes, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about this one? This one was sent in by Jacob Locker. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Terry Banto, who asks, audio chip embedded in adult diapers, good idea?
What?
Wait, what?
Do you have an elderly relative who needs to wear adult diapers and who is also somewhat impaired in their mental functioning? My stepfather is 92 next month. He's been wearing them for a couple of years. He's also become rather negligent in terms of personal hygiene, and so I thought it would be a big advantage to know that his diaper, or as I call them, mantis, is saturated. That's not okay.
Wow.
How great would this be? A diaper with an audio chip, like some of those musical greeting cards that's triggered by a specific level of saturation. It can play tunes such as Moon River, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, or Rollin' on a River, even handles water music. You get the idea. Anyway, when a caregiver or relative hears the music playing, it's diaper change in time, and Grandpa will not be able to argue over it. Anyone like this idea? Any venture capitalists? And then he goes on to say that this is an actual idea he's been kicking around for a while, and he's not just trolling.
I think the music should be played at ear-splitting levels, but piped directly into the cerebral cortex of the elderly person so that it's blisteringly loud music that only they can hear. So that their own self-mesh shame will be tied to a specific trigger.
Yeah.
That will just – it'll be like a whole cerebral shutdown, basically.
I think that this is a great idea for anyone who's ever sat around and thought, man, I'd really like to ruin the song Bridge Over Troubled Water forever and ever for me.
Forever for me and everyone around me.
Every time it comes on the radio and you're the passenger in your car is like, oh, I love it. And you're like, no, turn it off. Turn it off. This is the pee pants diaper song.
Here's the real question. The reason I wanted to read this question, because it's not typically the kind of question that we would get into, is what song do you want to come out of your pants whenever you pee in them
whenever you urinate on yourself. I want whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
That's good.
I think that would be awesome. And people would hear that. They'd be like, oh, you did it again.
I think mine would be Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
That'd be good. Because someone would be like, stop peeing, please, God. You'd be like, listen to the tunes.
I would go with Something in Red. That would really upset a lot of people, I think.
I would really like Thunderstruck, but I want it to start out really quiet and slowly, like over the course of like a minute, like fade up to a point where anybody could hear it.
So people would
be sitting around watching TV with me, and I would have this big smirk on my face, and they would hear, and they'd be like, do I hear Grandpa? I'd be like, what's
I love this because I would now I want to change mine to Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yeah.
And so it's like just epic and triumphant.
Oh, I want it to be big and proud. Like everything else I do.
If I'm pooping in my pants, I want it to be Bright Eyes so everybody else can enjoy my emotional state. That's where I'm at. Hey everybody, come on down here with me. I'm pooping my pants.
How about anything by Puddle of Mud?
No, sir.
Travis.
No, sir.
Yucko.
I do not like it. Something they like. What kind of music do old people like?
Something with 23 Skidoo in it.
Yeah.
Something with Glenn Miller. He seems to be very popular with the old people.
I think that if I dropped a totally ferocious deuce in my pants as a grown-up adult man, and Hoobastank started playing, I feel like people would be angrier about the Hoobastank.
What if it was just like Tub Thumper?
What?
Tub Thumper by Chumbawamba.
You mean Tub Thumping?
What is... Yeah?
Tub Thumper is their ballad.
Tub Thumpist.
I like Tub Tub.
Thumped again.
That 90s classic Thumperoo.
I have a question here.
Yeah? Don't you get a questioner?
Well, the person writing this Yahoo Answers question says it's their, what, father-in-law?
Yeah.
Stepfather?
Stepfather.
Yeah. And the stepfather is 92?
92 yeah. Next month.
So even at, like, a lowest point estimation, the person asking this question is, like, 50-something.
Oh, he's a grown-ass man. I'm looking at his picture in the profile.
He wants this tech to be in place.
He is a grown-ass man who's, I would guess, between the ages of 50 and 60, who's like, this is a totally great idea.
Yeah, I'm thinking that this guy just got his very first musical birthday card, and he's like, you know what would be great is if that only played if I peed on it. Oh, wait, diapers... Moon River.
But he also uses the word mantis.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good detection system. If you walk into a room and it smells like the urine of the elderly, maybe change your dad's diaper.
Maybe.
If your house so smells like the urine of the elderly that you can no longer detect a fresh cloud of that, a fresh system, a high-pressure elderly urine system moving into your living room, maybe you should move.
But what he is saying is he wants music to come out of his dad's, his step-papa's loins so that his step-papa can't say, not my piss.
I'm going to take this idea and tweak it slightly.
Okay.
And have you ever seen those cards where you can record your own message in them? So you trick your stepdad into saying, I just pissed my pants.
Yeah.
And so then when it plays, like, well, you admitted it.
Yeah, and I heard it. Come from your pants mouth.
I think it might be time to put old dad out to pasture. He's had
put him on the ice floe.
It's time to put him on the ice floe. He's had a good run.
That's not funny.
You know, Eskimos have 86 words for snow and no words for singing underpants.
Yeah.
I don't think you should put your pop peepums out on the ice floe. He's too bad.
He's a revered elder in the community.
His
pants sing when he poops in them.
He is.
Christ, what are we doing to the elderly? Can't they just poop in their pants? This is the greatest generation. If they want to poop in their pants in quiet.
They can poop in their pants. They went to that. Your step peepums was in World War II. His pants don't deserve to play Mambo Number 5 when he makes peas in them.
Your peepaw pooped in Hitler's pants. And now you want him come around and. He's fucking
Oh, that's the perfect song. When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Poignant historical.
Poor old people. They're trying. Hey, I'm a guy who's been happily dating my girlfriend for a little over 4 years. I work with a girl who started calling me Pumpkin in a borderline flirty way. To make things worse, that's a nickname my girlfriend has for me. To make matters worse, I'm a pumpkin. Don't mention to that. The girl I work with is cute, and we are friends, but I have no interest in her, obviously. But I am afraid she is going to do it in front of my girlfriend, put it on my Facebook wall, or something like that. How do I gently ask her to stop doing that without sounding whipped or mean? And that is from the not-so-great pumpkin. I have an opinion.
Uh-huh.
Here is how you stop her from doing that. You do not. Now, bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
She's not hurting anything right now. You have to respect that if it's a situation where it could be bad, it could be, you know, embarrassing for her to call you that, she will not call you that. There's nothing wrong with her calling you pumpkin at work just because you have a girlfriend who happens to also really enjoy squash. Just roll with it.
And maybe do, like, a preemptive thing and say to your girlfriend, like, there's this girl at work. She won't stop calling me Pumpkin. It makes me kind of uncomfortable. And then if it ever happens in front of your girlfriend, you can just look at your girlfriend and go,
See? Hey, and this just in, your significant other, be it boy or girl, being a little bit jealous, not the worst thing in the world. Can have its benefits.
Is it possible that this girl that you work with is calling you pumpkin in a non-flirtatious way? Maybe, are you extremely fat and jaundiced? Is that a possibility? Be honest with me. Are you fat and jaundiced? Because if so, she might just be calling you pumpkin in a descriptive way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a mean nickname.
Hey, pumpkin.
Well, maybe your girlfriend's calling you that in a mean way, too, and you just never picked up on it.
Yeah. She wants you to slim down. Mm. It used to be her little spaghetti squash. Yeah. Fix your ketones.
Here's the thing. I don't think there's any way to say it to this girl at work that doesn't sound mean, because, like Justin said, she's not hurting anything. And two, what if she comes back and goes, I call everyone pumpkin.
Yeah.
And now, like, you just look like a dick.
I don't know anyone's name.
Yeah.
Hey, pumpkin.
Listen, bitch!
Yeah, that's how you'll sound. Don't do that.
Yeah,
because she's doing something that's nice and you know, in her mind, probably just a friendly, you know, jokingly flirting kind of thing. And you're going to come back at her and make her feel like a jerk.
Yeah, and if you do that, here is every interaction you're ever going to have with her again. Here are those clothes you asked for. Kyle!
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No.
Just let it go.
Let it fly.
All right. Isn't it nice?
And plus, if she was really flirting with you, she wouldn't be calling you pumpkin. Like, that's not how girl flirting works. It's not that overt and just really smacking you upside the face with it.
Let me ask
that's probably you, the way she interacts with everybody.
Let me ask you guys something. It is good to get called a pet name by a stranger. Now, listen. If you go to a bank, if I go to a bank and I make a deposit in the bank and the bank teller, like, calls me sweetie or something like that, it just makes me feel nice.
You're walking on sunshine.
I am walking on sunshine and clouds and
rainbows. Day is made.
Man, I love that. When I go to, like a restaurant, the waitress is like, and what are you having, darling? And I'm like, oh, I would like some hash browns, please.
I'm disarmed.
I think everybody should start calling everyone by nicknames all the time.
Okay.
Especially police officers.
Well. Hey, baby.
No, wait, here, are we talking to the police officer or are they talking to us?
I think it's funnier if you are talking to the police officer.
Hey, baby.
Do you know why I pulled you over? No, baby, why?
No, baby, baby. Hey, baby, 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 hey, tell baby. Me what's up. What'd hey, I do?
Girl. Hey,
did
girl.
Did I do something naughty, sweet girl?
Aw, sweet girl, I'm so sorry, baby. Let me see that ticket.
Was daddy speeding?
The daddy signed that ticket, girl. Let me give you an autograph, baby.
Sir, I'm a 50-year-old man, baby. Come on.
Baby. Hey, pumpkin, give me a sugar. Give me that ticket. Lady.
Let me see that ticket. Let me just blot my lipstick with that.
A main man. A main squeeze.
Come here, baby. I'm blotted. Let me get that.
Put that pepper spray down, sugar.
Sugar, come on. Don't baby. You tase me. Hey, sugar. Don't tase me, sugar.
Hey, baby, sugar. I don't want to go to jail.
Hey, open that door. Go ahead, open.
Stuff ooh. My head
take
in.
Take these cuffs off, girl.
You're, Oh, you're tasing me now.
Me, sweetness.
I'm being so tased. Right. Oh, this is electric. Do you feel this between us, baby?
I am on the ground convulsing, sugar.
Oh, girl, I just threw up on the ground a little bit. Come on, baby.
Oh, baby, look at my throw up. Uh-oh.
I know you got a wet nap, girl. Come on. Come on, give me that wet nap.
People are starting to stare.
Sir. People are staring at me. I'm pissing my pants, literally, as you watch me flail about. Come on, girl. How many more charges you got in that thing? Damn. Damn. I bet I got a charge for you. Little electric kiss. Come here, let me kiss you. Let me get
a little smooch. Police brutality. Girl.
Oh, yeah. I got some brutality for you. I tell you what, I need some utility. Come here. I need some of that. Oh, I'm in the car. You shot me. Shot me in the.
Said, I'm dying.
I'm dying. Damn, girl, you got me dying on the ground right now.
Look at all that blood, girl.
Oh, girl, I'm bleeding out. It's getting, girl, it's getting hot.
Done.
Damn, girl.
My extremities are so cold, girl.
Girl, I can't feel my fingertips, girl. This ain't right. Come here. Why don't you come and blow on him a little bit? Come and warm me on him.
Tell my mama I love her, girl.
Girl, damn. I want you to meet my mama, girl. Damn. By the way, I literally want you to carry my remains to my mama for a nice service. Damn. God, those pants look good on you, girl. Damn.
I think we just sexually harassed the internet.
I'm in heaven. Damn, St. Peter, you looking good, girl. Damn.
Tune in next week.
Tune in next week when not a girl cop. Why is that? I feel bad for the police officer. He just shoot a man in cold blood, didn't he?
Yeah, for speeding.
He was violently sexually harassing him.
He was provoked, honestly.
The funerals are so expensive, so I think that... No, let's just go to the money zone. Yeah.
Special one. This is a tender moment right now.
Okay.
So everybody just chill out for a second. Travis, I'm going to give the honors to you, Travis.
Well, thank you very much. This is from Alex to his girlfriend, Mitchell. Happy late birthday. Your birthday was September 29th, and we missed it.
That was our bad.
That's on us.
Yeah, we ruined it. Alex put this in for your birthday and stuff, and we blew it. So happy late birthday.
We're giving Alex time to, Alex, you know, go ahead and grab a, you know.
And so just real quick, one more thing. Alex wants to know, will you marry him?
What?
She never saw this coming. Look, she's crying.
I'm crying.
And now she's running away.
Uh-oh.
Come back. Damn. Wait, girl. Come on.
Hey.
Hey, girl. No, this is I shouldn't turn this into a bit. This is the most magical moment of their lives. They're kissing. They're smooching.
So I'm going to assume that she has said yes.
She said yes. They're so touched. Look, they're buying... buying my brother and me t-shirts from maxfunstore.com.
Oh, they're exchanging them. Oh, it's so sweet.
They bought each
other. It's better than rings.
Better than rings, I'd say. Congratulations to you guys. We hope your blessed day was all the more blessed.
Oh, and now when you wear your t-shirt, people say, oh, do you listen to my brother and me? And you could say, I do.
I love it. Thanks, you guys. Congratulations.
Sorry we were late. We postponed your engagement.
Yeah,
That's
the kind of power we wield.
Oh man, I'm drunk on it.
But congratulations, you two. Love you very much.
I love you.
I love you more than they do.
Go ahead, Griffin. What were you saying?
I was just thinking maybe a Yahoo would be appropriate to come off of that sweet, sweet wedding moment.
I love it. I love this plan.
By which I mean, let me pick the most inappropriate one I have in my quiver.
Sure. Something for it. Just pull one out.
This
Knock
one
it.
Was sent in by Johnny Wags, but he said that he found it thanks to his friend Never Like That. Those are both Twitter handles.
Okay.
I hope those aren't given names.
It's Yahoo Answers user P.I. Stalker who wants to know, how can I overcome my fear of Bruce Willis? I have an acute phobia of Bruce Willis. Every time I see him on the television screen, I become nauseated and clammy. My skin crawls, and I feel like I will die soon thereafter. How can I get over this?
Now, what I love about that question is there are three different things I can think of. That either his fear of Bruce Willis is that, like, he's afraid Bruce Willis is going to come get him.
Yeah.
Or two, he's just... there's nothing he's afraid of in particular, just Bruce Willis in general puts him on edge. Or three, he's afraid of what Bruce Willis might become.
Of what he represents, you mean?
Yeah. He's so, like, I was such a huge fan of him in Die Hard, but I don't know what's going on now, and I'm afraid.
You don't know what his next career move is going to be. Exactly. Is that what you mean? Like, I'm
he's
afraid?
Shifty. He is transformative. He's like Clayface.
Yeah.
Or Clay Aiken.
Or Clay again.
You never know what he's going to do next.
He's mutable. I feel what you're saying. He is going to make Dwayne The Rock Johnson, like, jump into comedy, mm-hmm. like, soon. And I'm worried about it, too.
Yeah. Well, he already started. What was the one with Tracy Morgan? Buddies?
Cop friends.
Cop friends? Cop soon, friends in 3D?
Soon he'll be able to take... He'll get into that classic, like, Harrison Ford, Clint Eastwood phase of the action hero's life when he's like... Everyone regards him as the biggest badass in town, but he rarely moves at more than, like, 4 or 5 miles per hour. Uh-huh. He's like a really scary tank without guns and a hat and a nice hat.
Yeah.
Oh, don't cross him. People say back in the mid-70s, he killed 30
dudes. He will glare at you and just make you feel real bad.
I remember seeing pictures of him attempting to keep a civil relationship with Ashton Kutcher. As he fully knew that Kutcher was just slobbing all over his wife.
Thanks for that, by the way, paparazzo. Much obliged.
That picture of Bruce is one of the most intense faces I've ever seen on a human being before. And if it's that image, I am also terrified. Because now Demi's back on the prowl.
Sure.
Uh-huh. What if
we get those two back together?
Mm-hmm. What if I run into her? At Central Market, and we both drop our groceries, and while I'm helping her pick up her groceries, Bruce Willis fucking garrotes me.
No, I think he's totally cool with you, Griffin.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
Totally cool!
I
think it's great, Ashto.
I'm saying he is Demi's private Batman.
Oh. He's not the husband she needs.
He's the husband that will choke out any man who ever looks at her.
I don't understand where you're drawing these conclusions about Bruce's relationship with Demi's conquest.
Have you met Bruce Willis?
I have not.
I haven't either. So doesn't it make more sense that he would be incredibly just unnaturally violent?
I actually think that I bet that Bruce Willis in real life is... The best parallel I can draw is, like, a dad whose daughter has just brought in her first homecoming date. Mm. And so he's being very smiley and civil, but it's a thin veneer over, like, just troubled waters. Like, he will kill you as soon as your daughter leaves the room. He, like, pulls you close and goes, "Now you know that's my special girl.
Hey.
I'm going to go ahead and say hurt her. Bruce Willis has definitely killed a man before.
You think?
I think he's almost certainly killed a man.
You know what I think the problem here is? I think the problem is that I am only familiar with Bruce Willis through his music. Mm-hmm. So the problem is, of course, that you guys know Bruce Willis. I know Bruno from The Return of Bruno.
Oh, fuck. Mm-hmm.
You understand? I see him as a musician a provocateur, I guess. I mean, it is a singer, songwriter, and performer.
Poet,
really.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where this disconnect is coming from, because I only know his music.
You've seen the softer side of Bruce.
I've seen the softer side of Bruce, yeah. Exactly.
Let's get to the heart of it, though. What can we do to get over this fear, this Bruceophobia?
Is it possible that we could start selling amulets?
To ward him away?
Yeah, like these are Bruce-proof.
Can you make an amulet out of good career choices? Because he seems pretty averse to those.
I think we're big proponents of immersion therapy. Is there a movie where you can watch Bruce Willis not be intimidating? Because I don't think that...
Hudson Hawk.
Well...
Yeah. I mean, Hudson Hawk's a good one. Daddy Daycare.
Is that... That isn't...
I don't think he's in Daycare, Justin.
I may have confused him with Eddie Murphy, which I totally, totally understand because of Eddie Murphy's prolific action career. Pluto Nash.
I do not think Bruce Willis is in Daddy Daycare. I recommend watching that to all my patients.
Have you ever seen Cop Buddies?
He may or may not be intimidating in that. I tell you what, I wasn't intimidated by him in Die Hard 4.
Yeah.
It was basically just him looking at helicopters for 2 hours. it's not that bad.
Have you seen Crazy Cops?
Wacky Cops. Wacky Cop Buddies.
Now, which one was Wacky Cops? I get Wacky Cops and Cop Buddies confused.
Wacky Cops was the one with the, like, 15-minute-long chase scene where he was just on the hood of the car saying, "Slow down!"
Yeah.
Like, over and over again for 15 minutes.
What was the one where he's a cop with a heart of gold, but also one of the scary movie brothers is in it.
Oh, yeah.
What's that one, Griff?
That one is...
Last Boy Scout.
Last Boy Scout. There it is.
Have you seen To Protect and Chuckle?
Uh-huh.
I don't...
You just got served.
Yeah.
You just got served is one that is a very warrant. Popular. It's him and Gerard Depardieu. Hit one of them's from across the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Trying to get his green card, they fall in love.
Wasn't he in Rush Hour?
He was in Russia. During the... When the, he tore down the... that cold wall.
Mr. Willis.
Mr. Willis.
Tear down this
help me
wall.
Tear down this wall with Scary Movie and Gerard Depardieu. This is the weirdest film promotional event we've ever done, but let's tear down this wall. The wall I'm talking about that's in Russia, basically. If you think, right?
Can you find Bruce Willis and have a candid discussion with him about your fear of him?
Separated by bulletproof glass.
No. I want you to really get in there and say, hey, Bruce, I want you to know this has nothing to do with your career. I think you're a fine actor, a fine thespian, but I am fucking terrified of you. Mm-hmm. What can I do to get over that?
Have you ever seen Last Man Standing?
No.
It's a Bruce Willis movie where he's like basically a gangster cowboy.
Okay.
And basically the movie is a solid 2 hours of him shooting dudes.
So are you saying... Sorry.
Constantly.
What are you suggesting with this, Travis?
Nothing. I just really love that movie.
Fuck you. Like, you're the
fucking... We were having...
You're not even helping anymore.
No, I'm saying if you watch that movie, it's good. It's a good movie. Okay. I recommend watching it.
Wait, hold on.
Man, just so you know what, guys? I just watched What Dreams May Come on Netflix Instant Queue the other day. What a just sterling film. Bruce isn't in it. It's Robin Williams. But nevertheless, this is movie talk.
I'm just saying it's much better than Surrogate.
I'm saying you're a jerk.
Agree to disagree.
I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I think you can dislike Surrogates and hate Travis all at the same time.
This you guys watched Top Shot last night?
Did you guys watch Top Chef? They used the music of Bruce Willis the entire episode. It really highlighted it. Hey, I used to think setting my phone to vibrate was much less annoying than having an obnoxious ringtone going off all the time. However, seems like with newer phones, the vibrating is just as loud or louder. Heaven forbid your phone is sitting on a coffee table and it vibrates. So I've come to you to ask, which is worse? A moderately loud ringtone that you have to hear all the time, or having it sound like there's a sex toy in your pocket every time you get a message? That's from Grant in Granger. Granger. Grandier? Something. Granger.
I would like to throw out what I have been doing lately, which is if I am in a group of people, say we're going out to dinner or hanging out at a bar after a show or something, I turn my phone off.
Like, you don't mean power down.
Yeah, I turn it straight off. Do you know why?
Tell me.
Well, I'm of the belief, and I was actually just listening to an episode of Stuff You Should Know, our friends at Stuff You Should Know, and they talked about the future of the internet. And one of the things they talked about is that smartphones are literally reprogramming our brains to think differently. So those conversations of who was that guy in that thing with that girl, like, those conversations are disappearing because now everybody just takes a second and looks it up on their smartphone.
Okay.
So I turn off my phone so that I can continue to have those conversations about, like, who was that guy? What was that movie? Do you remember that thing?
You are a proponent of returning to the caveman days where you couldn't remember the name of the movie Hudson Hawk?
Only in social situations. Like, if I'm by myself, my phone is on all the time. And it's my outreach to the world.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're a Luddite, though.
Well, one of the things they said on this episode that I really agree with is if you wouldn't pull out a crossword puzzle and start doing it, you shouldn't pull out your phone and start tapping away. I think that it is rude in a social situation.
When did the guys from Sophie Chanel get so judgmental?
I know, right? But I think that, man, just turn your phone off. If you're in a situation where you worry about the sound bothering people, like if you're in a movie or at a play or at dinner or something, just turn it off. You will be fine for 2 hours.
I don't agree.
Unless your whole family dies in a house fire.
Yeah, right. Unless someone needs to ask you a question about the My Brother, My Brother and Me episode.
For hundreds of years, we lived in worlds without cell phones.
But we also didn't, the three of us couldn't have hosted a podcast then. We have new technology demands, and I need your attention 24 hours a day. What if I need to ask you a question about our technology show that we have?
We have a technology
show? This is our tech cast.
This is a tech and movie cast. Now, what I'm saying is, like, okay, I'm trying to express this to you in a way that you'll understand, because you are a Luddite. You've revealed yourself. You love bacon, and you hate technology. Okay. What I'm saying to you is...
I don't hate technology. I fear it.
There are facets of this technology that have changed our daily life so much that we need the technology to navigate them.
Or we'll die.
By which I mean, we have a show on the internet, right?
Uh-huh.
You can't have a show on the internet and also say, like, phones are rude because... I didn't need to talk to you all the time before we had a show on the internet. So, like, the technology has perpetuated the need for itself. You can't just put the genie back in the bottle, I guess is what I'm saying.
All I'm saying is moderation is always the best way to go. I'm not saying get rid of cell phones. I'm just saying maybe you don't need to have one, like, surgically attached to your hand all the time.
I am cutting the rope right now.
Okay.
While you guys are having this conversation. Because I got bored by it, and I... instinctively reached into my pocket and got my cell phone out. I said, mm-hmm. Oh, there are some ropes that need to get cut, and cut the rope. And so I started cutting rope.
Oh, you are playing cut the rope. You're not cutting the rope from your cell phone. I thought you were cutting the tether.
No. If I could put more ropes onto it. I think it's phenomenal that there is a thing that I have in my hand that 30 years ago, it would be the size of a small library.
And it also... from to someone 30 years ago would seem like one of the tricorders from
my iPhone is a goddamn is a motherfucking lightsaber. My
right,
iPhone
it has a lightsaber in it.
I am a tech wizard. I can't shake the feeling that I'm a tech wizard. I'm a steampunk. I have to have it in my hands at all times.
On a completely different note, just make sure that your ringtone isn't the same song that plays when Grandpa pees his pants.
Oh yeah,
or else it gets really confusing.
Or maybe do. Maybe that would be a fun goof. Like, Grandpa, I do it too. But
just kidding.
I go again on my own. There I go again on my own.
This is a young girl that I'm going to go have a good time with. And you rub that in his face. Ha ha ha.
We're going to go find Glenn Miller and spit on him. I think that Travis actually has a point that if it's in a situation where it's going to be bad,
mm-hmm.
I say go ahead and turn it off. Yeah. Think of all the internet you'll have waiting for you stored up. For when you finally do turn it back on.
Especially, and I can't stress this enough just because I'm in theater, if you go to a theater event, turn off your phone.
Turn off your goddamn cell phone.
It ruins it for everybody. Because there's always like that one dude who doesn't do it, and like right in the middle of a really emotional scene, like it starts playing some CeeLo Green, and everybody's like looking around, and you've ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
And you're just a turd.
Don't ruin the play. Come on.
I feel like every theater in the country should adopt the rules of the Alamo Draft House here in Austin, where if your phone goes off or you talk at all, they kick you out and then they shoot you in the mouth in the street with a gun, which I think is a little excessive.
Yeah, it's a little much. Hey, I've come to you in some need of some sage advice. I got out of a 5-year-long relationship nearly a year ago and have recently started dating again. Good for you. Mm-hmm. The woman I'm seeing now is great. We have a wonderful time together whenever we go out, so the issue isn't really with the relationship itself. It's when she's on the phone with me. When we're on the phone, a conversation usually runs upward of an hour before she feels like she's ready to hang up, and I'm not always in the mood for such extended conversations. So tell me, brothers, is there a way I can get across to her that I don't always feel like talking on the phone without hurting her feelings or making it seem like I'm making excuses not to connect? Silent in St. Louis. Oh, God. Jeez. I'm having a panic attack thinking about talking on the phone for an hour. Like, I'm physically.
I don't know if it's still this way with you guys, but I know that for a while, like, the three of us are incapable of talking on the cell phone.
You are?
On any phone. I'm so bad at it. With my ADD, if it goes longer than, like, 10 seconds, I'm staring at so many other things, and I'm out. I'm gone. I've turned on the TV, and I'm watching SpongeBob.
Well, you also have raging ADD. Like,
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm out.
I'm impressed that we managed to keep your attention for this hour.
I've been playing fetch with my cat the whole time.
Yeah.
I like that honesty. Yeah, man, like, I hate the phone. Yeah. My wife knows. She'll call me. Sid will call, like, on her way home from work or whatever, just to let me know she's coming, and I'll instantly, like, I'll just be quiet. Like, I won't talk. Yeah. And she'll say, you want to wait till I get home, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I do. I don't want to talk on the phone anymore, please. And when she gets home, like, we'll talk. Like, I love talking to her, and I'll talk as much as she wants to. And we'll have long conversations. It's the phone. Yeah. I can't talk into it. I didn't used to be this way, because I can remember being in high school and being on the phone for long periods of time.
Well, when I was in high school, because I remember doing the same thing, and I hated every single second of it. But I did it because that's what I thought I was supposed to do.
But then you get a car, and then you learn how to drive, and you can just go to that person.
And so now, like, I established with Teresa very early on, I was like, listen, I don't like the phone, I'm not good at it, but I love text messaging, and I love long conversations. So if we can meet, like, somewhere in the middle and do both of those two things in, you know, either talk in person or just text message me one question and let me answer it, that's great.
Because
in my life, that's usually what it is like, what are you doing tonight? I'm doing this. Great.
Talking on the phone is like sitting in a room with a person and talking to them, only you're not allowed to touch them and your eyes are closed.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to do that?
Who wants to do that?
It's like a scene out of Saw.
Yeah.
It's like a challenge. I hate it.
It is a challenge because there's so many things going on right in the periphery. Mm-hmm. What are you not doing that you could be doing? I don't know. For me, talking to someone is a full, and this is part of it, I like to get in there. Mm. I like to get into that psyche. I like to look in the eyes. I like some occasional touching of the shoulder. I like to get in there.
I grab the head.
It is intense.
I grab the head with both hands.
Mm-hmm. I say, hey, look at me.
Look at me.
Basically, it's like a Vulcan mind meld kind of thing.
Look at me. Did you watch Top Shot last night?
And here's my advice. I think you need to tell her that. Because what's going to happen, and what may already be happening, is like you see her call and you think, man, I do not have the time or patience for an hour-long conversation right now, and you don't answer the phone. And, like, that's already planted a bad seed right there.
Shine comes off the apple.
Yeah. So I think that you need to say, like, listen, I think you're great. I really love talking to you. But, if you know, why don't we just hang out instead of talking on the phone? Or, you know, let's save all this up. Because what you don't want to do is get to a point where when you hang out in person, you have nothing to talk about because of your marathon phone conversations.
Yeah, you'll use it all up.
Yeah, and then be like, so what did you do today? And it's like, well, it's 9 o'clock, so I woke up, and that was it.
That was it. You know what? I realized sitting here thinking about it while you talked about whatever it was you're talking about, I don't like casual conversations in any respect. If I see I'll sit down and talk with somebody, but if I see someone that I know in a public setting, I consider it a loss if I stop.
Yeah.
I like exactly as much time as I can talk. I've actually caught myself walking in slow motion so I don't lose. Like, once I've lost momentum, I've committed myself to a casual conversation. I can't stand it.
See, I always say I'm terrible at small talk and I'm really great at big talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm great at epic conversations.
Hey, what do you guys think about the universe?
Yeah, like that, I can carry on that conversation for 6 hours. Ugh. But if someone's like, how's work?
Yucky.
How's Teresa doing? I have nothing. I'm like, she's great. It's going fine.
Do you guys ever get into a conversation with a casual conversation in public with someone? Maybe you don't know them that well or you don't see them that often. They'll go through the whole conversation and they'll ask you these questions, being polite, and then you'll end the conversation and you'll realize about 30 seconds later, like, man, I didn't ask him anything. What a monster I am. Like, I will do that
to a higher extent where I'll realize I never made eye contact with them once.
I did not look at them. I was bad at that one. That one was on me.
That's a loss. We're going to put that in the L column.
Do you guys think that we might be sociopaths?
Possibly.
We got a touch of it. No, I mean, I'm not saying like we're Bruce Willis level, but we're so...
Man,
we're
what a bastard that guy is.
He's terrifying, frankly. Griffin.
Yeah.
How about it?
You want a Yahoo?
You know I do.
Well, I've got 5.
Jesus Christ.
Just read them all back to back to back.
Yeah.
Just cram it in.
Yeah, I'll do that.
No, don't do that.
Don't. Oh, this one's gross. All right, this one was sent in by Josh Becker. Thank you, Josh. It's by Yahoo Answers user Seth Wolf, who asks, how can I get my friend to kick me? Hi, I have a foot fetish.
Okay.
And I kind of like my friend's feet. We are good friends. Oh. And if he kicks me while he is in this action, I plan to grab his foot, take his shoe off in a playful, friendly way, like saying, you can't kick me now because I have your shoes. Then he will say something like, well, I don't need shoes to kick. And then I take off his socks. And then I take off his socks, and I'll be closer. So I need to know how I to get my friend to kick me by saying something to make him playfully kick me, or something to get me to see and touch his feet without him thinking I have a foot fetish. So what do you think? I can either get him to kick me but not be mad, or me to touch his feet and take off his socks. I really want to take off his socks, but just touch his feet. So any ideas? But please, no mean or useless ideas, please.
Can everyone for a week stop raping their friends, please? Can we just stop, like, tricking people into fucking them? Like, and this is what this is. This person is tricking their friend into raping their feet, and I'm done. I can't do it. That's for them, for in the lens of their perversion, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're killing me.
The problem with this kind of question is it makes me go, which of my friends really like my feet? Yeah. Is this about me? Secret. Who is this person that I know that wants to touch my feet?
Right, it changes your whole perception.
Yeah.
It's like when you learn we were in the Matrix. Like, everything changes after this.
These are all mean and useless ideas, guys. How can we get this guy?
Back before the internet, this kind of person would have just been that lonely person down at the end of the block that everyone would be like, Oh, don't worry about old Mr. Jenkins. But no one would have known that his real thing was he wanted to rape his friend's
feet. We are going to sit down in this room, 12 Angry Men style, and we are not going to get up until we figure out a way for this man to kiss his friend's naked feet.
You try to convince me to help this gentleman. The adjournment is in session. I am sitting here and I'm not going to help this fucker unless you convince me that I need to.
What if he just did it?
No. Now, Travis, you're...
Give me that foot!
Just did it.
You're like the Judd Hirsch juror who flips right away. Like, you just gave in. I'm staying strong. I'm not helping this weird beard. And I know this isn't like the furries thing where I got mad at them for no reason. This guy is being aggressive, and I don't like that. I don't care if you're a foot fetishist who has a willing partner. This is not good. This is assault, is what this is. This is assault.
Can you rub him?
You can't
rub his foot.
Yeah. Without permission.
No, I mean, you could get permission. Who doesn't like a good foot rub?
Me?
Well, me too.
Yeah.
I like a good foot rub.
From your buddy?
From my friends?
Hey, buddy.
I got a good way
pieces.
To trick your friend into kicking him. Tell him you'd secretly like to steal his socks and rub his feet and put it in your mouth. That's a pretty good kick trigger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This whole scenario seems so unlikely. I doubt your friend would say anything like, I don't need shoes to kick.
Yeah. What about socks?
That's not a good zinger. You never hear Spider-Man say that after his shoes have been stolen.
Maybe tell him you want to play shoeless Chuck Norris.
I have this theory. We've had a few questions like this, and I think that...
We have?
Like, probably... No, I mean...
If so, I quit the show.
In this genre of, like, people talking about specific... situations that they'd like to get into, and like the skull one is another example of this.
Uh-huh.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I think that there are people who for whom have a fetish, but you know it only this is how it manifests. Mm-hmm. But by typing in this specific scenario into a public forum, they are living it out rather than looking for actual advice on how.
So you're
to
saying
do this.
If this person listened to our podcast,
it would be like a double jizzaroo for them.
So you're saying like they're writing like erotic fan fiction.
Precisely.
For themselves.
And we are reading it out loud.
Right. And Yahoo Answers is the conduit.
I am slam poeting this person's erotic fan fiction.
You are.
Can I just say, now that I said that out loud, I really like the idea of writing like erotic fan fiction about yourself. Like this is a Travis story by Travis.
This is Travis and Harry Potter.
I write slash fic, but it's always me slash someone.
Me.
I tried me slash me for a while, but that was really depressing.
It was really sad.
Me and Metroid.
One day, Justin and King of Queens were at the ice cream store. I love pie, said King of Queens. So do I, said Justin. And then they blasted each other in the butts. sex was had by all.
Oh, man.
Great sex, King of Queens.
That's also my favorite Aesop's fable.
Here's the moral. Here's the moral of the story. Neither a borrower nor a lender be.
Oh.
Oh, fuck. I want to hear Griffin's last question, but first, few housekeeping things. This is, of course, my brother, me. You listened again, so I blame you. I appreciate so much everyone taking the time to tweet about the show with the My Brother MBMBAM hashtag. Tons of people on Friday tweeted out our sampler link. We gave one of them an FF, as they say, a follow Friday to our buddy Brian Minsker. So next Friday, do that again. Tweet the link to our show. It's bit.ly/ it's MBMBAM.
And Justin, may I say real quick, just because I don't think we've talked about it yet, I really enjoy Losing the Sheen.
Yeah.
Well, what's Losing the Sheen?
Losing the Sheen is a podcast about Two and a Half Men by two people who have never watched Two and a Half Men till after Charlie Sheen left. And it's starring our very own Justin McElroy and his wonderful wife, Sydney McElroy. If you haven't checked it out yet, go to iTunes and search Losing the Sheen. It's hilarious.
Thanks. And yes, subscribe and rate and review. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole bit.
I love it.
People tweeting about Kimbo2042, Jam Collie. Who else? Who's been tweeting about our show this week?
Joanna11.
Joanna11. LGW Green.
I stayed off the grid this week, mostly.
Jeff Paulson. Mm-hmm. You're not feeling good. That's understandable. Yeah. Ducklips5413, obviously, always. Super Sci Guy.
His wife. Sean MD. Cheesecake Jones.
Awesome Anne Mariko.
Always. So many awesome people tweeting about the show. It makes me really happy.
And I would like to personally thank all the people who encouraged me through Endless Shrimp 2011. I couldn't have done it without your support.
Hey, guys.
And I look forward to Endless Shrimp 2012.
You realize we need three people to do this show, right? Like, it's funny to watch Travis hurt himself with shellfish, but if he dies from it, like, the show's pretty much done.
Yeah, it would pretty much be the end of the show. So stop being so shellfish.
I want to thank Bob Ball for doing our introductory warning, and I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of their song. It's a departure off the album Put Into the Days to Bed, which every week I can get more people saying, like, oh, I'm listening to the Long Winters now. They're fucking great. Yeah, they are fucking great. Guys, I told you that. Pay attention.
We've been telling you that for how long now?
For forever. Go... If you just go listen to the Long Winters, you're gonna love them. They're the best band.
Actually, if you go to eMusic, our buddy Tracy Wilson found that on eMusic the album "Putting the Days to Bed," or no, I'm sorry, the Long Winters "When I Pretend to Fall" is $5.
Five whole dollars, guys. Go buy it.
Five whole dollars. Go get it. That's not the one with "It's a Departure," our theme song, but
it's Jesus. So good.
It's still worth it.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's our show. Thanks for listening. Again.
I love you.
I love you. Griffin.
Which is the final... This final question was sent in by Jacob Locker as well. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Gishal, who asks, are there Juggalo animals?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad.
Square on the lips.
Your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. Three stacks, these girls are smart. Play your card.